Good morning. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Lord, we are truly grateful for another day. We're thankful, Lord, for the sunshine and the brightness, Lord, and the warm temperatures that are eventually going to get here. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for your word, for your love, mercy, and grace, for the gift of eternal life that is found in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds, that you help us, Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are, and that, Lord, you would be honored and glorified by everything that takes place here today. And we ask this all and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And the chairs in front of you are the prayer cards. Fill those out with praises and prayer requests, and we'll send some kids back to gather them up here shortly. I will say it is very nice to be back. It feels like it's been forever, and I've only missed 2 weeks preaching. I was here two Sundays ago. I just didn't preach. So Friday, I guess it was Thursday. No, it was Friday. Friday, we decided we would stop at Fantastic Caverns and go underground and see God's glory in creation. And as I'm riding through this cavern in a Jeep, in a back end on a tram that was being towed by a Jeep, we had to duck because the ceiling was so low in spots. And in other places it was, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's absolutely beautiful. This was not discovered until 1892 or somewhere around in there, okay? It's been a long time. But it was underneath of their feet for years, and no one ever saw it. And it reminded me, as I was riding through it, of those little drips that make the stalagmites and the stalactites that were there, the beauty of that creation, that God is working in all of us as his people. Hidden inside, he is working in our hearts. And that's, we're going to talk about the kingdom. And the kingdom is also being worked out in us, or we're working out in it, however you want to put it. So we're going to be talking about the kingdom. And we're going to start in Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to try to do all these names. But I want us to remember that the kingdom exists. It's here and now. And Matthew mentions the kingdom 53 times. He talks more about the kingdom than anybody else. Luke comes a close second. But Matthew, starting in chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to go down through verse 17. The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac. Isaac fathered Jacob. And Jacob fathered Judah and his brothers. Judah fathered Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Now they're twins, just so you know. Perez fathered Hezron, and Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amadiah. I got it. Never going to get it again. Amminadab. Thank you. I have it even written so I could say it. Amminadab fathered Nashon. Nashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz by Rahab. Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth. And Obed fathered Jesse. Jesse fathered David, the king. David fathered Solomon, David fathered Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon fathered Rehoboam. Rehoboam fathered Abijah. Thank you. I was getting there. Abijah fathered Asa. Asa fathered Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat fathered Joram. Joram fathered Uzziah. Uzziah fathered Jotham. Jotham fathered Ahaz. And Ahaz fathered Hezekiah. Hezekiah fathered Manasseh. Manasseh fathered Amon. And Amon fathered Josiah. Josiah fathered Jeconiah, I'm so glad you're here to help me. I went over these this morning and listened to them, I don't know, three or four times so I could get it. Jeconiah and his brothers, Josiah fathered Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah fathered Shealtiel. Yeah, close enough. And Shealtiel fathered Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel fathered Abiad. Yeah. Are you keeping up there? Good. You're all reading it. Abiad fathered Eliakim. Eliakim fathered Azor. Azor fathered Zadok. Zadok. Zadok fathered Achim. Achim fathered Eliad. Eliad fathered Eleazar. Eleazar fathered Mathan. Mathan fathered Jacob. Jacob fathered Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Those numbers are important. And we don't have time to go in all the numerology that's out there. But I want you to take notice that 14 is a derivative of 7. Two sevens is 14, right? And there are three sets of 14. And like I said, this would not have gone unnoticed by those people at that time because numbers were important. Think of it this way. 7 is the number of perfection and 3 is the number of completion. Okay, so those are the two important numbers that we want to understand in all of this. So they would have understood. And if you go and you start counting, you will find that in the last set of 14, there's only 13. God. The father of Jesus. Okay? The genealogy of Jesus is following Joseph. The one in Luke, the genealogy in Luke, follows the genealogy of Mary going all the way back to Adam. Okay? Whereas Matthew goes from Adam to Joseph following his lineage. Okay? We're following Joseph's lineage. Matthew starts out making sure that we know that Jesus is the Messiah. Very first verse, right? And that he is also the son of David. We'll get into that in a little bit. He is the Christ, the anointed one. That's what it means. The Messiah means anointed one and the Christ. That he's making sure that we understand that he is a descendant of Abraham. That Jesus is the promised seed that would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And that Jesus is in the royal line of succession to the throne of David. Apart from Jesus, none of these people were perfect. Okay? None of them were perfect. They were not good examples of the love and mercy and purity of Jesus. They did not show that at all. Abraham... We'll start where they start. Abraham was deceitful. He told a couple of kings that Sarah, his wife, was his sister. Okay? Just so he wouldn't get into any trouble. And he was fearing for his own life in a couple of those instances, or in one of those instances. And then Abraham takes and banishes his Ishmael, his son, and the mother of, which was not, by the way, was not Sarah, but was Hagar. And he banishes them into the desert. They end up coming back, but that's another story. I just want to get you an idea of, I'm going to go on here with the history and the lineage that's here. Jacob schemed and dishonestly and deceived his brother, Esau, out of his birthright. David committed adultery with, how does it say it here? With... The wife with her who had been the wife of Uriah. So we're talking about Bathsheba, just so we know, right? Bathsheba. and he had Uriah, and then he later had Uriah killed. David later took Bathsheba, an adulteress, right, as his wife, and it was Bathsheba that bore Solomon. Jesus associates himself with David, allowing others to refer to him as the son of David, right? All through the Bible we read about that. And that the son of David was a messianic title. They would have known that when they called him son of David, they were knowingly calling him the Messiah without actually saying it. In Matthew 20, verses 29 through 30, this is what it says. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, Jesus, and two people who were blind sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Now, there were two things that we need to look at there. By calling him Lord, they were declaring that they knew his deity, right? And with son of David, they were declaring their faith in him as the Messiah. We miss that a lot, I think. I want to mention that. Now, but getting back to his lineage, Solomon, that's where we left off, right? Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines. Oh my. There's so much that could be said there. Just so much. Now, these 1,000 they end up leading him astray, right, to worship idols. And then his son Rehoboam caused the split in the United Kingdom, the tribes, into two kingdoms, Judah and Israel. Israel was to the north. Rehoboam was the first king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And after him, there were good kings who wholeheartedly worshiped God, and there were some who worshiped idols. There were other people who were not kings, that many of them being kings and who were not kings, that were self-centered. Some were famous, and some we never heard of. But each that is mentioned here is seen as important in the lineage of Jesus, our king. Even a carpenter gets mentioned as the husband of Mary, but not as the father of Jesus. Each and every one were a part of bringing Jesus and his kingdom into this world in one way or another, right? Even Joseph, he raised Jesus. Imagine being given the privilege of raising God from a baby. Mentioned there. And there were, and this is important, there were also women that were mentioned in the lineage of Jesus, which was unheard of if you were given the lineage of anybody else. It's never mentioned. Women are never mentioned. And this shows Matthew's outlook on women had changed because of his time spent with Jesus. And I want you to note that each one of these women, in one way or another, were accused of sexual immorality. Right? The wife of Uriah. Bathsheba, right? She was an adulteress. She was married and mothered the king, the next king, Solomon. Tamar was not even an Israelite. She played the prostitute to get Judah to spend time with him. And we'll just leave it at that. And I remember Judah was her father-in-law, by the way, in case I didn't mention that. Rahab, another Canaanite, and a prostitute of Jericho, hid the Israelite spies, and her family were spared when Jericho fell because of her help. Ruth, another non-Jewish person, a Moabite, for whatever reason. Imagine this. She slept at the feet of Boaz in a barn. Now, imagine the talk that would have come from that, or did come from that. We don't know. And then we have Bathsheba, who had decided to take a bath in full view of the king's house.
She had to have known it. I'm sorry. Okay? And we all know where that went. These women were all part of the lineage of Jesus, the perfect man. Their inclusion here shows how Jesus was changing the world and was changing people at the same time and changing Matthew. And of course, then we have Mary. We would say a child of 14 who gets pregnant out of wedlock. She was engaged to Joseph, and Joseph could have very easily have caused her to be stoned, literally stoned. And I'm sure that was the talk of the town had he not accepted her as his wife. Historically, the worst of Jesus' ancestors, and I want us to understand this, listed here is King Manasseh, okay, of Judah, the southern kingdom. Among other things, he built altars to idols within the temple. He reigned for 54 years. He even sacrificed his children on those idols. He desecrated the temple. He practiced, as I said, child sacrifice and the occult. And yet he, as well as others, are part of Jesus' earthly lineage. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know this, right, from Romans. Jesus was born into this world and lived as a sinless man. But those in his lineage were far from sinless. Deceivers, liars, adulterers, murderers. They worshipped idols. Some sacrificed their children to foreign gods. Some were kings. Some were rich. Some were poor. But all were used of God. All were used of God to bring our Savior into this world. Matthew didn't hide Jesus' troubled family history, as it shows Jesus as the heir of the promises of God that were made to Abraham and to David. In fact, Jesus is the completeness and perfection of the promises made to Abraham and David. Wow. He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. We get that. The disreputable and all those things, the disreputable people in the lineage of Jesus, reminds us of something else as well. All the divisiveness, all the murdering, all of that, all the things that were bad. Past is not the foretelling of what is to be. We each need to remember that. We need to remember that our past, our lineage, is under the blood. If Jesus himself came from a line of murderers and adulterers and cheats and frauds and were of mixed heritage, remember there were foreigners, then there is hope for all of us. Hope for all of us. Jesus broke the curse of his past. Generations of dysfunction don't have to be predictive of future events. Cycles can be broken. Systems can be replaced. Families, and therefore whole nations, can be healed. Jesus is King. Amen? Amen. And now this is the part in your worship folders. And where there is a king, and where that king is obeyed, there is a kingdom. Amen, a kingdom. That's what we're talking about here, right? There is a king. And where that king is obeyed, there is a kingdom. So where do we see the kingdom today? In the church, hopefully. Right? In the church. John's gospel, when Pilate asked if he was the king of the Jews, when he asked Jesus, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this purpose I have been born, and for this I have come into this world, to testify to the truth," God's word. "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And the truth was standing right in front of him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? There was the truth right in front of him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he let him be crucified. He let it happen. He didn't stop it. He didn't condone it. He just let it happen. How often do we do that? Do we just let things happen? When we have the ability and the authority and the right to stop it or to at least say something. Our King, out of love, paid our price. Paid the price for you to be your ransom price. Paid my ransom price. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. Your King, the King, is the same yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow. He's here right now with us. His love for you knows no bounds. And he has a plan for you to give you a future and a hope. You, as individuals, each and every one of you, God's got something for you. Each of you, as Christians, has a place and a purpose within his kingdom. No one, and I have to remind myself of this, I'm just as human as the rest of you, is too far gone. We can't write them off because they're drug addicts. We can't write them off because they're murderers. We can't write them off because of fill in the blank. No one is too far gone. And God wants them all to be a part of his kingdom. This passage of Scripture proves Jesus' lineage, dysfunctional as it was, and that he was and is fully human. And Galatians 4:4-5 tells us that, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman," so we understand he was born into this world, "born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law," us, all of us. "Our Lord and God came and lived as a man and died for us and rose for our justification so that we could be justified in Christ, just as if I'd never ever sinned." I love that. I don't have to worry about it. It's under the blood. It's gone. It's as far as the east is from the west. And God chooses to remember your sin and mine no more. It's a choice. Praise his name. As we go into Matthew, and we're going to proceed through Matthew, you'll find that God took people from different backgrounds with common personality traits and issues and brought them into the kingdom. And we will see 11 common everyday people that in following their king were changed for the better. They were made something they were not to begin with. Something better. I say all of this to let you know that God still uses people to bring about his will. And that he still brings people into his kingdom. Makes them his people if they will just let him. If they will just let him be king of their lives. This morning, Sunday school class, the question was, what is it that we're to give up to be Christians? What was the answer?
Everything.
Everything. I'm turning my life and everything that I own over to Him. And I will tell you that there are times that those things that I own can become traps. That I can become very upset when something happens to something that belongs to me. Okay? And I have to remind myself that it's not mine. I'm only a steward for a little while. Because after I'm dead and gone, all that stuff will still be here in one way or another. May not be what it looked like when I bought it and drove it off the showroom floor. It may not be what it was when I bought it and moved into it. It may not be what I bought and put it on. It may have become threadbare, as they say. I'm just a caretaker of it for a short period of time. A very short period of time in the grand scheme of things. We need to remember that. Because we are His children. We are His people. We are citizens of the kingdom if we will just let Him be king. He offers the world salvation to whosoever believes. Do you believe? Do you believe? That's the question. Is Jesus king in your life? I'm going to ask the praise team, come up. I want you to think about that. Is Jesus king of your life? In every aspect, have you turned it over to Him? And are you letting Him, allowing Him, permitting Him, whatever word you want to put in there, to be king? Is He ruling there in the throne of your heart, or do you sit there enthroned? And Jesus is, well, every now and then you can take. How does it say? Jesus, take the wheel. He should have had it all along, or you wouldn't be where you're at, right? I think about that often. Why didn't I just let Him drive? And it's an analogy, okay? But how do we end up where we're at? Other than through our own will, when we should have allowed Jesus to be king from the very beginning. So I see there's some prayer cards left up here, so you can come up and pray for those. Or you can come up and pray that Jesus would be king. That He would give you the strength to let go and let God be king of your lives. Our Lord and our God loves you. He wants you to be a part of His kingdom. He has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Doesn't matter who we are, no matter what we've done, He's right there waiting. He wants you in the kingdom. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we come before You and we praise You for Your many, many blessings. We're thankful, Lord, that You forgive, that You justify, that You sanctify, and that, Lord, You make us Your people, a part of Your kingdom. And within that kingdom, Lord, You have a purpose for each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, to walk in the kingdom and as citizens of the kingdom, no matter where we go, no matter what comes at us, help us to remember that we are Yours. And we ask this and we give You praise in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You for the food we're about to partake in and in the fellowship. And again, we praise You. For You are God, Savior, and King. You are our provider. In Jesus' name, amen.